Neil Larson, Julie Mason, and we're excited to be joined in studio this morning by Representative Marco Erickson. Representative, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
You bet. It's good to have you on. You know the inside of a radio station. I don't know if I realize that about you, but you were a DJ years and years ago.
I was, yes. It was a radio station called Fox Country, 99.9 KZLO in Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. So fun.
That's good. And you did a little bit here too, right? Is that what you said?
No, I didn't really do anything here. I just visited the station a lot.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, okay, we have two things going on. We have the end of the legislative session. We were just talking about that. You also face a challenger. Jalene Berger is challenging you for your seat this year. We actually will be interviewing her tomorrow, same time. But we want to talk about your campaign in a moment. But first, let's recap the legislative session. This was a doozy this year.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. What your thoughts? Okay.
Oh, he's like, enough said.
You go ahead and recap it.
Well,
from
you
your
saw
perspective.
Some things that you don't normally see. You haven't seen in a while. I've been there 6 years and I hadn't seen the radiator cap process. I had heard of it, and they would joke about it. Leadership would joke about what they'd done to people's bills before, and they'd say, "Well, we did this and we changed the whole thing." And I'd heard about that concept. I'd never seen it played out. And this year they did that at the end of session, and that was quite shocking. You know, I didn't expect that.
Well, is this one of those things that nobody likes it? In the same way, when there's a flood and you have to go out and loot and steal bread to feed your family, nobody likes that. But it was an extreme situation because you do have these committee chairs that are putting bills in drawers. And that's what's forcing these lawmakers to take another path. They know that it's a bill, it's an idea that constituents want. And for whatever reason, we won't attribute motive, but for whatever reason, they're just saying no to the bill proceeding in their committee. And I feel like if we're going to blame anyone, you can blame the lawmakers for radiator capping, but don't the committee chairs also hold some share of that?
Yeah, there's a part where committee chairs, it's their responsibility to protect the body.
Yeah.
So ultimately, whether they had a meeting in the leadership in private or with many, many other lawmakers from both sides, that sometimes is what happens. But it's ultimately their decision if they really are against it, or if they have a close friend that's a lobbyist, right, that says, "Hey, I don't like this." They could do that. That's their right and power. But it's really sad when you have, if there's 70 members of the House, for example, that passed a bill, and then it goes over to the Senate and doesn't even get a shot at all. That's frustrating sometimes for the sponsors and for the other, for our whole body, because we're like, wait, that thing didn't move anywhere? What's going on?
Yeah.
Do you see any kind of a desire amongst the various lawmakers, both the Senate and the House, to bring forth some sort of rule change where if it passes by a certain amount, it has to be heard? Or is this just something we chat about back here going, that would make sense?
No, actually, you're correct. I've heard rumblings of it. I've just not seen anybody bring forth a rule change. But yeah, we've talked about it every single year because it happens every year. And if it's your bill, you're the one that's frustrated. Luckily for me, I actually did have that happen. There was a bill that I was sponsoring that came from the Senate that had 35 votes. But it wasn't a bill I had written or built. It was just one I was going to carry on behalf of some of my colleagues. And it got held up that same way. Mm-hmm. A lobbyist came into the chairman. And it was my own chairman and my own committee, the one I'm the vice chair of. So it happens. And I watched that play out that year. It was frustrating. Yeah. But it wasn't, again, it wasn't a bill I was married to that I had worked on for months and months. I knew about it and I was helping with it. That happens occasionally to all of us in some form.
Well, hopefully you gave that chairman the silent treatment.
Yeah. Well, he's retiring now, so okay. Now it's likely that I'll be the next chairman of that committee. So
he squirted a little hand sanitizer in his coffee.
Right. Then you guys would be putting the heat on me if I'm the one holding the bill up, right?
Yeah.
You can
right.
call me on my phone and be like, "Why are you holding that bill?" And I'm a straight shooter, so I usually just tell people right up front, "Here's what's going on. Here's what I think. Here's what you need to do to fix it."
Okay, there's so many controversial issues. I don't even remember which bill this was, but you had to travel out of town for a few days. I think for a week you were gone. And Kirk Larson was your substitute. And we looked at the vote, and it said that Marco had voted, I think, for this bill or against it.
I think it was against it. There were only like three or four Republicans.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you to criticize Kirk Larson. I mean, I'm sure he's a friend, and that's why you asked him to do this. But I do want to ask in general, is there an expectation when you're a lawmaker, and we understand sometimes you can't be there, so you have a substitute come in, especially if you're going to be gone for a few days, that they vote, especially on big bills, important bills, the way that you would have voted?
Yeah, unfortunately, with that one, it moved through the process so fast. It was later in the session. If that had been early in the session, that wouldn't have happened because there would have been more time and more ability to communicate back and forth. So I had given him instruction, hey, this particular legislator is usually pretty good. Just follow his lead if you don't know what to do. Because, you know, and he sits next to him. They can have a conversation. Well, that legislator voted against that bill. Okay. It is what it is, you know. And I take a hit on that because what it does when I do 300,000 pieces of data analytics on the legislative process every year. I do that. Yeah. My colleagues ask for my data, and I take hits on that, you know, because I analyze how many times I'm voting against the Republican Party, how many times I'm doing this or that. And yeah, so it's okay. It is what it is. It's part of the process. So, and that's their right. When we set them in there as the legislator for that week, they have that full right to vote. And I don't hold them accountable. I just say, oh, I would have done it a little different that time on that particular vote. And there was one more, but you throw a person in, they don't know the process, you know, they're just learning on the fly. So you can't blame them. It's like drinking out of a fire hose coming at you full speed.
So not speaking to this specific instance, but is there a general expectation that the substitute is going to vote the way there's?
Yeah, most of the time. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
It was just so unfortunate because that bill actually got national attention.
I know.
Name was published nationally.
I know.
As voting.
It happens. But now, you know, if you look at the record, it has a parenthesis and it shows that I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
Yeah, that's good. It is what it is.
Go ahead. So let's talk about maybe some disappointments. You're hoping to go back again next session, be reelected. What do you want to get done, though? That you weren't able to accomplish or that you were hoping as a body you would accomplish?
Well, there's projects each one of us has that we work on for several years. It's not stuff that we just think of overnight. You know, that big mental health bill I passed last session, that was 2.5 to 3 years of work. You work on those for a long time. You first, you know, you take a problem that's existing, you study it a little bit, you analyze some potential solutions, and then you create a bill, right, a draft, and then you float it through all the partners and figure out, okay, how will this affect you? How will this affect you? And then you eventually come up with something that's workable that you're not going to have a lot of opposition on. So that's what we're doing all the time. And so I'm working on some that are really big things that will help reduce the amount of people in prison, do better treatment quality upstream, you know, things from the courts right up between the prisons and the courts. There's not a step-up system in that place. It's usually you're in court or you're in prison at the end. Right. If you fail those drug courts and you fail. So I want to create some stuff. We have a lot of women in Idaho that are incarcerated at a much higher rate than I would like to see. And when you go visit the prison as part of that committee, the Judiciary and Rules Committee, we go in the prison. We talk to those people. We see their lives and we see what's happening, what's not happening. They're overutilizing systems like health and welfare because their children are in the system since they're in prison. So there's better ways of doing that. I've worked in treatment for all those years, so I have a lot of knowledge and skill sets in that. So I'm hoping to build something useful like that in Idaho, which will reduce the women's incarceration rate, reduce our amount of spending in the prison in the long term. So that's kind of my goal, one of the big ones I'm working on.
Marco, you and I share an interest in that. I love data as well. And so I went into LegiScan. I kind of created this system where I examined lawmakers and I isolated the votes where a majority of Democrats voted one way and a majority of Republicans voted the other. And then I measured each lawmaker. Did you vote with the majority that you align with? Your score came in at 87%, which I will say was on the upper end.
87% what?
87% of the time on those split majority votes, you voted with the Republicans.
Oh, okay.
So now there are more votes than that. It's just sometimes it's a consensus vote. Everybody votes the same way. I was specifically looking in those votes where there's a clear philosophical split, and that's why. So this data doesn't tell us everything about every lawmaker in every vote. But what I've noticed with you is I guess I could do this for previous years as well, but I feel like the trajectory for a lot of lawmakers is they may go in as a conservative and then they shift to the middle. But I feel like Marco Erickson went into the legislature kind of in the middle, and you've shifted to the right.
A lot of people say that. I think that I was just kind of right all along, and I sway back and forth based on the real need, but I'm more of a right-leaning Republican. It's just I get a bad rap. I don't know why, because I might vote one way one time. It could have been an emotional vote or whatever. But if you pay attention, I see narratives out there saying, you vote with Democrats this many times. Yeah. Actually, if you look at the real data, there was only 17 votes out of 486 this session that we took that the Democrat had any impact. Their vote had an impact. That was 3%. So 97% of the time, like you said, it's Republicans against Republicans. Yeah. And that's the outcome of the vote. So I think in my data, there were 198 times that happened this year. And it was like 41% total.
Yeah.
49% of the time we all agreed. Everybody.
Yeah.
Including the Democrats. So yeah, like you said, that data, it depends on how you use it and what you can look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at least with my metrics here, for most of the legislative session, you were actually above 90%. And then I think there were a few, maybe health and welfare, Medicaid votes at the end where you weren't like in party alignment. You were just voting your conscience.
A couple times it was because when they radiator capped the bill, I didn't like that. And I voted no just because of the process, not because of the content.
Yeah.
And so, but ultimately my vote against the party ended up being, so I was 95% in line with the party in general. And there was only one, there was eight of us that were 95 and one was a 96, which was Sean Dygert, and yep. And everybody else was lower than us, including my colleague. And Barb was at 90. She was 1 point below me, so that we were real close.
Right
in
there.
And everybody, it was another thing. I look at my data is everyone took votes with Democrats, even the most what they would say highest freedom score people. They all took at least 15. As average was 8-15. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, you know, I thought that too. And whenever I see that score, I'm like, okay, but it's not like they're siding with Democrats against Republicans. It's just there were some votes where
just how
they got an overwhelming vote. And so I felt like those are pretty misleading. But
and some of the I found it interesting. There were some members that had, you know, like Lucas Kaler's one, he had 117 votes against the party, which ended up being 24% of the time. And the highest Democrat was Steve Birch, and his was 123. So I'm like, you're almost, I don't know what's going on there, but it's data, you know, and I'm not using it to bully or to pick on them.
Sure.
I just say it's fascinating because there was a few Republicans, you know, and they could be considered in a specific faction. They were just higher against the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And you know, people could say whatever they want to say what that means, but to me, it's like it's just an anomaly. I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
So that leads me to ask this question: while you're currently over there, are you before you take votes? Are you chatting with a certain group? Are you caucused with anyone? How are you formulating your
votes?
Depends
on what issue it is, because there is a lot of members who do that every day on every single vote, and I see them do that, and they have talking points, and they come to the floor with talking points, and that's just what they do. They do that every day. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I don't have time for that. I'm focused on so many things at once. I'm collecting data. I'm talking to people on bills. I'm prepping for my bills. There's just so much going on and reading things. So occasionally I'll have those same meetings especially if it's a really intense topic like Medicaid expansion, for example. We're looking at and analyzing the impact to the state. How harmful is it if we eliminate that or this program or that program? So we're having to dive deep into information and data, not just make a decision on the fly.
Yeah. Okay, we have less than 4 weeks until the election. Marco, make your pitch here. We just have 2 or 3 minutes left in this segment. And what would you like to accomplish in future legislative sessions as a representative in your district?
Well, like I said before, I got the project with the prisons. I'm always working on improving our mental health system. I'm a conservative. People, you know, like you said, you said it yourself, I get along with everybody. I have the ability to pass almost every piece of legislation that I work on. I've not had a single one that I've written fail. I've passed several of them. And so I'll continue to do that as I'm a legislator. Most likely, I'll be the chairman. I've been the vice chair for 4 years. I've been trusted by my colleagues all across the country on healthcare policy. I get invited all over the country on a regular basis. I've been made chairman of the Western States for education and workforce development policy by my colleagues throughout other states. That's Republicans, Democrats. They recognize leadership, and then they've asked me to be the chair. I took on that role. I've just been blessed to be a solid legislator that's reasonable, that can hear my constituents, listen to their voices. I'm not using a platform, a specific thing to say, this is how I'm going to govern, and this is how I'm listening. I'm focused on real problems, especially ones I know this. The outcomes and what could happen, you know, in treatment, mental health, those kind of things. I've seen it throughout my career. I've used my skill set, my master's degree, to make an impact, especially data analytics and how I approach things. So I've been pretty rational in my work in the last 6 years, and I'm going to continue to do that.
I think, well, with that track record, Julie and I have some bills we want you to carry then in the legislature. So
let's talk about it. I always tell everyone, we'll sit down, we talk about it, and I tell them, I say, these are your barriers. This is the problem. Even when law enforcement came and they wanted raises, I said, this is the wrong year. It's not going to work for you. And they wanted to up fees, and I said, that's not going to work. You can't do that. Yeah. Yeah. So we were like, let's, and we created a license plate for them, right? So now people can choose to go and buy this white license plate for Idaho and
make a little extra money.
It helps fund the police a little more. So those are things that are rational solutions rather than upping the fees for everybody and getting them angry.
I got you. Well, Marco, what's your website?
I took mine down right now because I didn't feel it was as effective as the other things. So right now, it's usually Marco for Idaho, but right now it's just
Facebook.
Facebook is where the best place to reach all the information.
All right, Marco, thank you. And again, for our listeners' benefit, tomorrow we interview Jalene Berger, who's challenging you. That will also be at 7:30. So, all right, thanks, Marco.
Thanks for having me.
All right, 7:53 on News Talk 107.9.